I'm here with Judge Boatwright. Thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome. It's nice to meet you.
You're beginning your new position, and talk a little bit about just your thoughts entering this role.
First of all, obviously, I'm very excited and honored. One of the things as I went through the process was I never allowed myself to visualize getting the position. So I keep going through sort of these epiphanies as I go through the process. Like I was driving downtown with my wife and I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to drive downtown every day. And I mean, all these things that I never really visualized.
Now, are there any particular legal cases you're most looking forward to grappling with or issues that maybe you haven't dealt with previously or you have and you're looking forward to doing more of that?
Not particularly. I mean, I think at the Supreme Court, I'm going to take what's brought up. I don't know that I am looking forward to any specific thing. As a district court judge, in the 12 years I've been doing it, I've literally handled everything that you can in a docket. I've done criminal, civil, juvenile, probate, mental health, domestic. So all of those, you know, are what'll feed the Supreme Court. So I'm anxious to kind of see what those look like when they get to the Supreme Court and you're able to take some time and really look at the issues. But in terms of a specific issue, I don't have an agenda. I don't really have any goals or other than to do the job well.
And you did mention this trial court experience. There's only one other justice who has trial court experience. What does that bring to the bench and how does that differentiate maybe your thinking compared to some of the other justices?
Well, I think in any Supreme Court decision, they make a decision that impacts that case. And I think those are what I call the intended consequences. You obviously resolve that issue for that case. But there also can be unintended consequences of a decision. And I think being in the trial court and seeing how cases play out and how rulings can impact other areas, I think that's one of the areas that I'll be able to bring to the court. I mean, I certainly don't pretend to come down with any greater wisdom, but I think being in the trial court, sort of being in the trenches, you have an understanding of the intended consequences and the unintended consequences.
And like you said, you've been in the trenches for a long time. Are there particular cases that you've found the most challenging over the years?
The last 5 years, I've been doing only juvenile, and I frankly have found those to be the most challenging because there's such an emotional impact. And I think that the gravity of the decision, those decisions have impacted me because you're making decisions about where kids are going to live the rest of their lives or at what point do you return children home to their parents or do you remove them from their parents. I thought to myself that in the Supreme Court, you're going to be making really important decisions with the collective group, but I don't know that any of them are going to be more important than one that involves a specific child that I've made a decision over.
Have there ever been cases that are just hard to let go and hard to move on from after you've made a decision?
Yeah, I think ones where things don't go as you'd hoped. I had a case where I had a really neat young lady and it was a very contentious issue with regard to placement. The parental rights had been terminated and I made a placement decision and the family wasn't able to keep her in the home, and that probably broke my heart more than any. And yeah, so those bother you. The ones that seemingly go well and you kind of forget about, they don't forget about them, but you don't think about them as much. It's the ones that, you know, your heart kind of breaks because you want to make the right decisions for these kids.
What type of process do you go through when you are making a tough decision and you do have a tough case before you?
The best part about the job is you go to the law and there are factors that you look at. And most of the time, if you follow those factors, it's almost kind of like a recipe, so to speak. And if you follow that recipe, a lot of times the decisions become pretty clear. I don't want to use the word obvious, but they become clear to you about what you're going to do. I find a lot of comfort in the law, you know, when you make those decisions. When you purely have a decision that's based on the best interest of the child and you've got seemingly two, you know, suitable homes, that's where it's hard because I would love to be able to say, can I see in the future for just a couple of minutes? Let me know where they're going to be in the future.
And I know at this appointment, Hickenlooper had three candidates to choose from, and one was unaffiliated, one was a Democrat, and you're a Republican. A lot of people may assume, hey, he's a Democratic governor, he'll probably go with the Democrat. Were you surprised at all?
It was a fairly lengthy process. I interviewed with the governor in a panel, and I interviewed with the lieutenant governor in a different panel, not to mention interviewing with the nominating commission, which was 15 people. So I probably talked during the process to almost 30 people. And the Tuesday after the interviews were done, what I kind of refer to as the quiet period. And then it was just, let's see what the governor decides. I remember telling my wife, you know, I don't know if the governor's going to pick me, but I really felt that he heard me. And I said to my wife, I said, I think he got a sense of who I was. Now, whether he values that or not, that's going to ultimately be his decision. But I felt heard. I felt the process was really fair. And I never got a hint of any politics through the whole process. I was not greatly involved in politics prior to being appointed. And then certainly during the 12 years I've been on the bench, I've not been political at all. You can't be. And I think that's why we've got a really good system here. It's the merit-based system. It's not perfect because human beings aren't perfect. But, you know, I can't imagine another system. I would never have been thought of as a candidate if this was a political process.
In the political world, there are a lot of criticisms of the Colorado Supreme Court for being partisan and left-leaning, and that's something we hear a lot from a lot of lawmakers.
I think one of the things that I would say is that if people, you know, even criticism that I've received is, for example, I had an eminent domain case, which is a condemnation of property by the government. And I didn't like the law. I didn't want to do that. The law dictated that I had to condemn this person's property, and the government took it over. And personally, I didn't want to do it. And later on, I heard that there was criticism about being an activist judge. And But it was just the opposite. I did something I didn't want to do. You know, you've got to do your job. You got to follow the law regardless of what people think or perceive.
And I know that you will have a 2-year provisional term and then a 10-year term if voters retain you. Do you envision doing it for as long as you can?
I can't picture going anywhere else or doing anything. Colorado's my home, and I'm raising my family here. And to be able to be on the Colorado Supreme Court is a dream come true. I just can't envision anything. You know, when I started here as a district court judge, I remember at my swearing in talking about that I'm going to do this for 30 years. And so different things motivate you. But this is just the biggest dream job possible. So I can't imagine where my eyes would wander.
One other thing I was just kind of curious about, but it is a little more philosophical, but do you see a difference between justice and fairness, or do you think they can be the same?
It's a great question. What I would say is that I think as long as you follow the law, hopefully justice and fairness are the same thing. Justice is what the system can provide, and fairness is a feeling. And I don't know that we can ever make sure that people feel that the system was fair. And I'll tell you that I really strive to do that. When I would have court, I tried to make it a very welcoming court. I tried to explain what it is I was doing. I tried to explain the legal basis for the decisions I made, because I do want people to feel that it's fair. I think that helps provide resolution for them. But ultimately, at the end of the day, people are going to perceive things how they perceive things. And so I guess justice is our goal and fairness is a feeling. One we can strive to achieve, and the other is we hope we can obtain.
Okay, well, thanks so much. This is Judge Brian Boatwright, the newest addition to the state Supreme Court. Thanks for sharing your views with us, and good luck in your new position.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks. This is Benta Berkland in Denver.